Hello, my name is Paul Sank, also known as Rhett Segreso, the editor-host of LifeNet Radio. We're talking with Dr. Sidney M. Lamb, the originator of neurocognitive linguistics. Now I'd like to address the issue of neurological plausibility, and I'd like to start from where I started. Way back in, when I was in college studying linguistics, I encountered, of course, generative transformational grammar. The first thing I thought about it was that it looked like a pretty good model of how people produce language. You know, you have this little S thing at the top, and that would seem to represent some nebulous concept we have in our heads that then branches out. It was very exciting to me. At least it looked more like a mental process than Reed-Kellogg diagrams did. I mean, making Reed-Kellogg diagrams was really fun. I enjoyed that. But transformational generative grammar was even more fun. But then I bumped into this thing called stratificational grammar. That's what it was called when I was looking at it. And I saw these marvelous-looking diagrams. They look like wiring diagrams of the brain. Where I had thought that generative grammar looked like an actual mental process, stratificational grammar looked even more so. I mean, this totally excited my intuition. It really felt like I was looking at a diagram of how the brain actually works, how we actually translate a thought into language. Of course, I only had a vague conception of this, but my intuition was really clicking and saying, this is much more like the way it actually works. So tell us about that issue of neurological plausibility.
That's actually a very large question. Let me say that I think your intuition was on the right track. I would say also that these network diagrams that we use in accounting for language are actually several steps removed from real neural networks. But the beauty of it all is that we can show in several steps how there is a plausible relationship. Plausibility is a good word to use here rather than, you know, we haven't actually demonstrated as a scientifically valid fact that relational networks are represented in the brain. We haven't shown how exactly they're represented. We have developed hypotheses. So we can say that we're at the level of plausibility rather than established fact. Any other linguistic theory, I think I could say any other, and that certainly includes the transformational generative varieties, he hasn't really been able to demonstrate any inkling of neurological plausibility. The idea of the generative grammar starting with an S and going to NV plus VP and so on, that not only has no demonstrated or demonstrable neurological plausibility, it actually doesn't even make sense from the point of view of operational plausibility. Now, operational plausibility is another plausibility question. A theory can be said to have operational plausibility if it seems likely to be able to be relatable to the actual processes that people use for speaking and understanding. Now, you can ask, you start out with an S and then go to NP plus BP, phrase plus verb phrase, and expand those and so on. Is that the way people actually speak? Well, it doesn't seem very plausible. When people say something, ordinarily they start with some concept they want to get across. Not with some syntactic, yes, it's a syntactic unit. People don't start out with syntactic units. They start out with a meaning that they want to express to the other person. And the syntax is somehow there as a system that enables them to formulate that meaning in the form of words, a string of words. You can make the same kind of criticism of any of the other linguistic theories. The one that comes closest of the ones that I am aware of to having any neurological plausibility is that of Holliday, the systemic grammar. So neurological plausibility, you can ask this kind of question. Does this theory seem to be relatable in any plausible way to the structures and processes of the actual brain? If you can say that there is a plausible relationship, then that theory has neurological plausibility. I claim that this theory, now known as neurocognitive linguistics, does have neurological plausibility, and in fact, we've demonstrated quite a lot of that. It's becoming more and more plausible the more we investigate. I think that's the beginning of an answer to that question.